Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 20. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, Jesus answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." Jesus said to his disciples, "The day shall come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look there, look here,' do not go away, do not run after them. For just as the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines in the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it shall be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and they were drinking and they were marrying and they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating and they were drinking. They were buying and they were selling and they were planting and they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let not the one who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house go down to take them away. And likewise, let not the one who is in the field turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to keep his life shall lose it. Whoever loses his life shall preserve it. I tell you, on that night, there will be two men in one bed. One will be taken, the other will be left. There will be two women grinding at the same place. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other will be left." And answering, they said to Jesus, "Where, Lord?" Jesus said to them, "Where the body is, there also will the vultures be gathered." Let's pray. Almighty Father, you are a great and a wonderful God. And Father, I pray that we would just have as our heart cry, "Come, Lord Jesus." As we watch the wickedness of man and we see that things are not improving but are getting worse, help us, Lord, to continue to look forth to you for our hope and our strength and our guidance and direction. Help us to live to bring glory into your holy name in our lives, and yet prepare, knowing that there will be a day when you will come in all your glory. And then this heaven and this earth will pass away, and there will be a new heaven and new earth. Help us to rejoice in the hope of our salvation this morning, Father, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So, in our passage this morning, Jesus' teachings move from the demands placed upon the disciple to the coming judgment. And this really is more about judgment than it is about the victorious return of Christ for his church. God has spent a lot of time in his word warning man about the coming judgment. It is coming. God is going to judge sinful man. And God has told us that it is going to occur and that Jesus will return as the means for the salvation of the church, but as the call for judgment for the world. And if we heed, or if we fail to heed the warnings that God has given, then our end is certain eternal damnation. It is very clear. We just got done talking about Lazarus and the rich man, and we know that there is an eternal time where wicked man will pay for the price of their sin, And it should be avoided. You really should recognize the great peril that it is to not trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Let's look at our text this morning. For the Pharisees asked the question about his return. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, Jesus answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." So, one, we know that the final judgment of God is a fixed event. God has appointed a time when that's it. There will be no more testing or trial, no more opportunity. It just will be over with. But the opportunity right now is for salvation. We have a real present opportunity for that. God has made provision for the salvation of man, and we, sinful man, must decide whom we are going to serve. Are we going to serve ourselves, or are we going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus has clearly shown, as we have walked through this book, that he is the promised Messiah, and that the salvation of the Messiah is right at hand. The very kingdom of God is right here, where Jesus is. And the question is, are you going to accept him as Lord? So the question was asked by the Pharisees, and then Jesus begins to instruct his disciples in verse 22. Jesus said to his disciples, "The day shall come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it." And of course, this is pretty vague, and certainly there are plenty of interpretations for this verse. I find that probably that there are more than one meaning that Jesus was even trying to teach here in this statement. And the main point, I think, that he's trying to say is that there will be days when we, the church, long for the physical presence of Jesus and the comfort of his personal teachings. We know for a fact that it's going to get harder and harder to hear the Word of God, to be allowed to teach the Word of God, to be comforted by what God has directed us. So there will be a time, as the wickedness of man continues to grow, where we might be prevented from having those luxuries that we have now of being able to freely read the Word of God and encourage ourselves by the things that we read. Secondly, as the day of judgment approaches and the wickedness of man increases, the righteous will just begin to long for the return of Christ. We will long for the judgment of man. We will long for the new heaven and new earth. So I think those are concepts that are included in what Jesus is saying to his disciples at this point. It's just going to be a part where we're ready. We're ready for God to make a move and to bring his kingdom fully into the new heaven and the new earth. Verse 23. "They will say to you, 'Look there, look here.' Do not go away. Do not run after them. For just as the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day." This is one of the best promises that we have in the Scriptures, I think. We have so many people that are trying to figure out the end time, and they try to calculate a date or say, well, all these things are really lining up, so we should be ready. And in that sense, they're right. We should be ready, because it's coming. Jesus is going to come again. We don't know the hour or the day. We know that things are getting worse and worse, and that concepts that Jesus talks about in his word are being fulfilled. And so think that the time is short and is sure to happen. But making a pastime of trying to figure out the end time, that's a fool's errand. That's not what we're supposed to do. The disciples tried that when Jesus ascended into heaven and the angel said, hey, didn't he already tell you to go out and tell the gospel? That was what they were supposed to do, not figure out when Jesus is going to return or those types of things. The second coming of Christ is going to happen. And when it does happen, it's not going to give us any time to prepare. You know, so anytime you hear something, somebody talks about, well, this person is the Messiah returned and all this kind of, no. Look how obvious it is. It's just like lightning. If you went out last night, at least here in Quincy, you could see the skies being lit up by lightning. And I knew it was happening. You know why? Because I could see it. And that's the way it is going to be with Christ. When Christ comes again, it's not going to be a question. We're not going to say, well, I wonder if this is it. Should I jump up in the air and hope he takes me in the air or some stupid thing like that that I hear people say? No. When Christ comes again, we will be with him. And the day of judgment is going to take place. We will all be swept into that event. And God has given us a lot of warning that that event is taking place. And if we do not heed the warnings that God has given us, then we will swept away into his judgment, not into his comfort and his mercy. So the church will be raptured out, and the wicked will stand before God in their judgment and be condemned for all eternity to hell. That's what's going to happen, and it's going to happen so fast that there will not be any other warning. There will not be any way to take any preparation whatsoever. It's just going to happen. And there will be no doubt that it has happened, and we will all know it. Okay, verse 25. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. So we recognize when Jesus is talking here that the event hasn't taken place and that his return for judgment is not here yet. But he wants us to recognize, first of all, that he has a suffering to do, but we as his disciples will also be entering into a time of suffering, a time when the rebellious will cause great difficulties for the church. Now, we recognize that we will have a final victory, but we're in a battle. And we're going to have to be the church. We're going to have to struggle and be rejected by this generation, just as prophets have been rejected from almost the very beginning. Jesus gives two examples of how it's going to be in the end times. The first one is Noah, verse 26. Just as it happened in the day of Noah, so it shall also be in the day of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Spent some time rereading the story about Noah, but we know that certain things, that Noah, part of Noah's task as he was building the ark was to proclaim the judgment of God. And he had a long time to do it. 120 years, we think, is about how long it took him to build the ark. And so, you know, plenty of naysayers to come by and say, hey, Noah, your boat's a little far from water. I'm not sure how you're going to get that great big thing over there. And so Noah would say, well, I'm building this because God's going to judge the world and all the world's going to drown if they don't repent and turn to God. I don't know if that's exactly what he was saying, but they were pretty much ignoring him, and they were just living life the way they wanted to live. Whenever I read verse 27, it certainly speaks to me of our society today. Isn't this what's going on? we're marrying and giving in marriage, we're eating and drinking and partying and all this stuff, not aware that God's judgment is coming. Then he gives a second example, verse 28. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on that day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Lot also was a prophet. I don't know how much he talked to the people in Sodom, but he certainly talked to those who were to be his son-in-laws, and they just thought he was joking. Well, that's just silly that God's going to destroy Sodom. Why in the world would God do something like that? But the men of Sodom and Gomorrah, they had warning, but they just continued in their sin until they were swept away by the judgment of God. If you're sitting here this morning and you have not trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're like those in the day of Noah. You're like those in Sodom and Gomorrah. You might be blissfully going along your life, but there is going to be a judgment of God. And it will, not only is it certain, but it will be swift and sudden. And now is the time for preparation. Verse 30, Jesus says, it will be the same on that day that the Son of Man is revealed. It's still going to be sudden. And Jesus' return is going to catch the lost unaware. Not going to be a chance for repentance. There's not going to be a chance for change of heart. Boom, it's going to happen, and today is the day. There won't be more opportunity. Verse 31. On that day, let not the one who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house go down to take them away. And likewise, let not the one who is in the field turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to keep his life shall lose it. Whoever loses his life shall preserve it. Today is the day for us to decide whom we will serve. This is the day that we have a choice. We're not guaranteed any other choices. If we're trying to collect our worldly goods and what is necessary to reach eternal life, when Jesus comes again, it's too late. You know, all those pharaohs that were buried with their cats and their servants and all those other, their wives and stuff like that, they're dead. More than likely, they're lifting up their eyes in hell. And that's just the way it is. They prepared in the wrong manner for the afterlife. They prepared for it just to be a better life than this. Not that it would be a whole different scenario where we are worshiping God and serving God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We choose today whom we will serve. There's only two choices, really. We're either choosing the things of this world, or we're going to choose the Lord God Almighty. That's it. You can color it with many other things and call my choices this and that and whatever, but you're choosing either your own selfish life or you're choosing God. There is no other choices. Whoever seeks to keep his life, meaning to just live their life the way they want to, the way that it's been going on for many, many years, they're going to lose it. Because a life without the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal damnation. Whoever chooses to lose his life shall preserve it. And when I gave up my life to the Lord Jesus Christ and his service, I have eternal life. I haven't experienced every bit of eternal life yet, but I've got it. I lost the life of my own selfishness and own direction and things like that, but I gained life and life abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 34. I tell you, on that night there will be two men in one bed. One will be taken, the other will be left. There will be two women grinding at the same place. One will be taken, the other will be left. two men who will be at the field, one will be taken, the other will be left. So it's not about approximation or proximity or about association. It's going to be about the condition of our heart. Whom have we chosen? Today we must choose whom we will serve. And it is a personal choice. No one's going to make that choice for you. The person sitting next to you is not going to be able to say, tag, you're it, you can go along with me. That's not happening. You will have to choose. And when Jesus returns, it's going to be too late to change your mind. If you do not make that choice now to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, then it will be too late. It's an event that takes place in an instant. Choices are done then. Verse 37. And they answered, and answering, they said to Jesus, "Where, Lord?" And he said to them, "Where the body is, there also will the vultures be gathered." So the discerning disciple is going to be able to see the growing wickedness of man and the certainty of the coming judgment. Even though the return of Christ will be sudden, it will not catch the faithful disciple unaware. God is going to bring judgment upon sinful man. We know it as the church. We can see the vultures are gathering. There's something dead and wicked and putrid in our society and in our world, and the end is coming. God has judged that. God's judgment upon sinful man is an absolute certainty. He has made that judgment. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. If you do not trust the Lord Jesus Christ, then there's no other hope, because He is the way, the truth, and life. When Jesus returns, there's not going to be another opportunity to prepare or choose. God has given us very clear warning of His intent. God is going to end this heaven and this earth, and then God is going to judge man and bring His wrath upon sinful man. And Jesus is the answer for salvation. His death has given us an opportunity for life. And today is the day of salvation. You choose. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be encouraged by Your word. We do thank You, Father, that You are going to return, and that You have provided a means for us. May You be glorified in and through our lives as we live faithfully. May we be prepared for this sudden event. May those who are yet contemplating their salvation, Father, this morning might be the day that they choose. Jesus is the way. Thank You, Father, for giving us a way. And I praise You and give You all the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.